Hello and welcome home. You're listening to the Tribe Abuja podcast. We hope this message inspires and encourages you to know and make known the truth and love of God the Father as expressed through His Son, Jesus. Let's listen to the message.
Amen. 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 Before you sit down, can you just say hi to five people that you've never spoken to before? You've never spoken to before. Just say hi to five people. That you've never spoken to before. I'm seeing sisters greeting each other. Why? Amen. Welcome to church. How's everybody doing? How's 2022 treating you guys? Good? Good? Yeah, okay. Insube, you can't complain. Like, yesterday was your birthday. You can't even complain. Hope you brought cake. Stop bowing your head, though. Amen. But I really believe that 2022 will be a great year for us. Or like we usually say, 2022 was a great year. Amen. We'll continue trusting the Lord and just continue following His counsel, His wisdom, and all of that. Till we become everything the Lord has called us to, in Jesus' name. So I'm starting a new series today, and it was actually inspired by the resurrection, and I was asking the Lord what He'll teach us this season. And because I know we have, like I said last week, every one of us, we have new life as long as we are in Christ Jesus. And we have new life because of the resurrection. Amen. Every person that believes in the Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us that they have been baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection. And because Jesus has new life, we also have new life. Glory to God. Amen. So, Paul was speaking to the Corinthian church, and he says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. Hallelujah. So for the next couple of weeks, we are going to be tracing what that means. What does it mean to be a new creation? What does it mean to have new life in Christ Jesus? What does it mean that we have the life of Christ? Glory to God. So let us open to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to be reading the ESV. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Holy Spirit, rest on me, on us. Speak to me, to us, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, for the persons who have walked into this place to hear your word, I pray that they leave with a harvest in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Amen. Have I said you greet your neighbor? Okay. So this particular passage is very, it's so, like, my heart has been so full, you know, just reading it. Because one of the things Paul was trying to, so the book of 2 Corinthians is Paul just trying to defend his ministry. Because some people were looking down on him. And he was making the arguments in the second book of Corinthians that, listen, I don't have anything to prove that you, the Corinthian church, are the proof of my ministry. So that's the point he was making in the entire letter, right? Now, he's making all these arguments. Then we go to chapter 5 and he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You know, I've seen, depending on your kind of, your nature, your character, different people, many people want new things. So I'm the kind of person that I cannot have Christmas clothes. Like, I don't know any witness here. Like, if I buy something new, I'm wearing it the next day, like the shoes on my feet. Like, if I have something new, if I'm like, save it for what? The Lord may come soon. Why are we saving it? No Gucci in heaven. No, do you understand? Nothing like that. Why do you look at my shoes? But I don't have, do you understand? I don't like, if I get something, I'm rocking. Eva has this, I'm like, ah, is this dress new? She say yes now. She has had it for 5 years. Really? Or, you know, some material wrapper. Like, I know almost all women understand what I'm saying. I really don't know how to save, like, for, you know, Christmas. No, I'm not that kind of person. At the same time, like, I love new things, right? But, you know, human nature, we want to see new things. So, many of us who keep up with tech, there's always this new feature that, depending on the product you like or the brand you like, there's always this new thing that they're adding, and you're watching to see what's new that you can save up again to buy. Do you understand? Today, what's it called? They called it, the iPhone has 3 eyes. Next tomorrow, it will be, do you understand? There's just always this new thing. And we'll keep chasing the new. But have you noticed that it's only in time that things change from new to old? In eternity, we will have new bodies, and we are told that there will be no more aging. But you know, because you know, aging is actually dying in time. I was watching an interview of a former supermodel. She's in her 60s now. And she was complaining that nobody looks her way anymore. She said she goes to a party and that nobody looks her way. She says all the young guys are taking, the old men take the younger women. And this was a woman who, she was on the front page of every major magazine in the 80s. But she got to a stage where her husband traded her for something new. And her next husband traded her again for something new. No, it's the way, it's human nature. We get tired. We want new things. Right? But those things, we now come to realize that these things don't often satisfy us. Then there's something we also do when we long for the past. We long for the past. Ah, when Naira was $1. But we forget that other things where it was also scarce. We long for the old. Say, my day. Some of us have not even exit. Some of us have not grown past our days of secondary school because your glory days were when you're secondary school. So we just continue longing for the past, this nostalgia. And nostalgia is not bad. But if you live in the past and you only live in the future, you don't experience the present. And like I've said several times, that C.S. Lewis says that the present is where God has a connection with us. It is in the now. It is in the now that God is speaking to us. Glory to God. Amen. But as we are here, Paul was making his argument as well that, yes, we have these temporary bodies. He called it tents. He says we have these bodies now that, don't worry, we will trade them someday. The resurrection has afforded us new bodies. And when that comes, there'll be no more pain. There'll be no more shame. Glory to God. But there's something in theology called already, but not yet. Already, but not yet. It means we have it, but we will still have it. Are you with me? That we have it, but we will have it in fullness. So yes, we are a new creation, but the time is coming when we will have new bodies and we will trade this, as Paul put it, this earthly tents, this bag of flesh and bones, for bodies that will never decay. Hallelujah. That will not age or have bald spots. No shade to anybody. It just came out. Now, what is the criteria for being a new creation? Like Paul says, if any man or if anyone, everyone say anyone. Anyone. Jesus is for everybody. Like we learned 2 weeks ago when I did, there's a table. Jesus is for everybody. Jesus told his servants to go to the highways and call everybody they can find. He says, compel them to come for the feast. So the gospel is for everybody. From the thief of the cross to the chief of kingdoms, from the prostitutes to presidents, Jesus is for everybody. The gospel is for everyone. So if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Glory to God. So it is not by how much doctrine you know, even though it helps with our sanctification process. It is not by how many dialects or tongues you can speak. It is not by how many heavens you've been to. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Amen. And that means now it deals with our identity crisis, because we are in a world where now it's hard to even keep up with the number of pronouns that everybody is having. The other day I was seeing that someone's new pronoun is toy. I've forgotten the other two. Toy. And it's getting crazier and crazier. A generation that is saying we don't want labels are going around labeling themselves. And that's because the world has said, no, we don't want truth. We want to live out our own truth. So everybody is now defining themselves by what they believe is true. Truth has now become elusive. It is no longer grounded on absolutes. So if anyone is in Christ, we only define ourselves in relation to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. If anyone is in Christ, everybody seated here, as far as you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have been baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection. And because you have resurrected with him, the Bible says you are a new creation. Glory to God. So we define ourselves not by our emotions, not by culture, not by tradition, not by what your parents say over you, not by what your co-worker says over you, not by what you even say over yourself. You define yourself according to the way God sees you, according to the way Christ sees you. So if anyone is in Christ, and as long as you believe in Jesus, you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus says, if you believe in me, my Father and I will come and dwell in your heart. He's John 15, he says, abide in me and I will abide in you. So as much as we are in Christ, he is in us. That is how we define ourselves. If anyone is in Christ, if anyone, from prostitutes to presidents, from the thief on the cross to chiefs of kingdoms. Glory to God. If anyone is in Christ, as long as you believe and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Bible tells us that we are now free from sin, free from death, free from the power of the enemy. We are no longer slaves. Hallelujah. Do you know something? I was just reading the story of creation again, and I saw that when the Lord got to day 5, he said that this was good. And he did not stop there, even though what he had created, everything was beautiful. And the Bible says he saw that it was good. But the next day of creation, the day 6 of creation, Bible says that's when he created man. He said, let us make man in our own image. When the Lord saw his creation, when he saw the planets, when he saw what he had the mountains and the valleys, everything that he had just created by the word of his mouth, he said it was good. But on the 6th day, he was looking for himself. Every other thing he had done was good. On the 6th day, what he did was God. He says, let us make man in our own image. Do you know, as someone who has been around the world, on Google Earth. I feel... Sorry. As someone who has been around the world on Google Earth, like, you can tell, like, there are so many beautiful places. In Nigeria, I come from the city of Jos, one of the, probably the beautifulest cities in Nigeria. Sorry, J-Town, but we have to brag about our city. But the earth is so beautiful, right? But do you know, God did not just stop there. He created man. But do you know, even Adam, in all his glory, when God saw him and he was like, yes, this is now someone made in my own image. Adam is not even what we are. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that we are God's masterpiece. What does a masterpiece mean? It means the apex of someone's, an artist's creation. Hallelujah. It means that this is the best he has produced. So we that we are in Christ, we are the apex of God's creation. If you're looking for God's masterpiece, you don't need to go to the Alps. You don't need to go to the seas. You don't need to go to, what's the name of that white place in Greece? Santorini. You don't need to go to all these other places. You can't. I'm just saying. Like, you don't need to go there to see that God's creation is good or great. You need to see, to see God's masterpiece is in the person beside you. It's in the mirror. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you're seeing God's masterpiece. And Paul tells us that we are God's masterpiece. What? Created for every good work. Amen. Are you guys tracking with me? So if anyone is in Christ, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. We have to, we deal with our identity. We define ourselves based on who we are in Christ Jesus. We don't define ourselves by what the culture says or tradition says or what any other person says over us. We define ourselves by our position in Christ. And we are in Christ. That is how we see ourselves. So what does that mean? It means that there's a relationship change. Hallelujah. It means that we were former slaves, but now we are the sons of God. Glory to God. So there's a new relationship status. You remember when Facebook used to do that? So some of you used to put complicated. And it's still following some of you now, but may the Lord heal you. Amen. Some of you did not say amen. Say amen. Wow, tribe. Let's say amen louder. The Lord will heal you of complications in Jesus' name. Amen. And situationships. Amen. But we have a new relationship status that we were slaves, but now we are sons. Hallelujah. That we have been grafted into the family of God. We have been adopted. Now that we are born again and we are born of the Spirit, we are literally new persons. That's how the NLT translates it. It says, God has made us, anyone, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new person. He's a new person. And this new person, this new creation, is a son of God. Hallelujah. He's a son of God. So when we approach God, we approach him as Father. As much as he's many other things, we see God primarily as what? As our Father. Amen. So, creation. I mean, we are new creations. We are the apex of God's creation. We are the final piece of God's design, grand design. And this new creation, these new persons that the Lord has created, he's preparing a place for us. He's preparing a place for us. The Bible tells us that God is going to create new heavens and new earth. Because these new persons will need a place. So he's even giving us a new heavens and a new earth. Glory to God. Because as we are now, we notice that, like he prophesied in... to Ezekiel, he says, I will give them, not Ezekiel, Ezekiel 36, 26, yes, thank you. He says, I will give them a new heart and I'll give them a new spirit. That's why we have longings and desires that nothing on this earth can satisfy. Because God himself is the one that can fully satisfy us. Amen. But there's a time coming when you will not need to hunger and thirst anymore for anything. Because after here now, you know, some of us may go home, eat our Sunday rice or go to restaurants or whatever. That time is coming where we will not hunger anymore because we will have bodies that will not hunger anymore. And in that place where we will not hunger anymore, it's a new place, it's a new heaven and it's a new earth. So new creation will live, the new creation will live in the new heavens and the new earth. Hallelujah, tribe. There will be no more wars or rumors of wars. There will be no more peace. You're not dodging your landlord. You're not dodging your boss. None of those things. We are living in beauty and peace and glory. Hallelujah. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Now, one of the things the enemy uses is he uses your history to deny you of your future in Christ Jesus. He uses your past. And let me tell you, your past is even non-existent to God. Are you with me? You are literally dead. You are dead. Your old self is dead in Christ Jesus. In fact, Paul was making an argument. He was saying that till now that in his body, Christ's death is still functioning. That the life he now lives is the life of Christ. Old things have passed away. Are you with me? Why would it be that someone like Paul, who went about persecuting the church, will go about spreading the gospel? It's because he had a new life. And a new life comes with new passions and new ambitions. Amen. So your old self is gone, is dead. The enemy uses the history of what you've done before. And I don't know about you, the way Jesus talks about his blood, it can wash away any sin. So there's nothing too dirty for God. Are you with me? Though your sins be like scarlet, right? I'll make you white as snow. Glory to God in the highest. Now, tribe, your past is not just even in the past. It's dead. It's non-existent to God. When you come before God, God looks at you through the lens of his son, Jesus. Are you with me? Everything on the judgment day, when we come before God, God is not judging you based on your past. Everything, like, is literally non-existent. Like, that book was burnt, it was thrown away, the pages have been, it's gone. Glory to God. The old has passed away. Stop living according to your past. Stop living according to your past. Now, the Lord has made us new in him. The Lord has made us new in him. Glory to God. It says, behold, the new has come. Behold, the new has come. Apostle John, seen in Revelation 21:5, he says, the Lord was saying, behold, I make all things new. Now, that is a future prophecy, right? But like I've told you, that there's already, but not yet. So right now, we're experiencing the newness that we have in Christ Jesus. We have a new life. That's why we have new passions, new desires, new ambitions. You don't yearn for some of the things you used to yearn for anymore. If you're going back to your former life, it's like going back to your vomit. Even worse. Because it's let me not gross you out. But it's like going, should I? So that it will stick in your head. It's like eating corpse. It's like going back to your former sin, going back to your former life. It's like eating a corpse. It's like eating, like it's like feeding on your own corpse. It's worse than that. Sorry. I hope you did not eat this morning, case, so you don't throw up. But it's worse than that. So your old life is dead, is gone. Hallelujah. People from your past may be calling you and like, guy, what's up? You used to be this. You said, no, sorry. I don't know who you're talking about. Hallelujah. Amen. New phone, who this? New life, who this? Amen. Amen. What's that old song? Things I don't like to do. So help me. No, not that one. Help me, Lord, help me, Lord. You guys are not that Ajebona. What's that one? You know this song? Lord. That song, Sha. But listen, we have a new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. So it makes sense that we pursue this new life. So our new life does not age in Christ. Are you with me? Our new life does not age in Christ. Rather, we grow into more of what we're experiencing. So we grow into more joy, more strength, more glory. Hallelujah. Until we trade these bodies for the bodies that the Lord will give us someday. Are you with me, tribe? Behold, I make all things new. And we can start experiencing it right now. We can start experiencing it right now. That's why people like Paul, who served as a witness for us, who went from persecuting Pharisee to now, you know, prophesying and missionary gospel. Apostle, pardon me. Amen. This new life has come to us through the resurrection of Christ Jesus. This new life that we have is through the resurrection of Christ Jesus. So the same spirit that resurrected Christ is the same spirit at work in us. The same spirit that resurrected Christ is the same spirit at work in us. The same spirit that resurrected Christ is the same spirit at work in us. Glory to God. We are new creations. We are new creations. God literally knitted us, which means we have a purpose. Hallelujah. You are not randomly created. God has an intention for you here on earth. And it is your duty to find out what he has called you to and become everything that he has called you to. It is our duty to stay in this new life that we have, to ask the Lord, what would you have us do? And he will tell us. Because our job now, as Paul will tell us in verses later, is to be ministers of reconciliation. So he has given us this assignment to go and tell people that, hey, you are dead in your sins and your trespasses, but you can have this new life that I have through Christ Jesus, through the resurrection. That is what we are called to do now. Hallelujah. What does that look like in our everyday? It means that we leave people and we leave places better than we found them. Hallelujah. If I were to ask you about your past relationships, many of you, your stories, how comes the person telling the story is the ex that is the villain every time? Every time. It's hard to see anybody say that they were at fault. I want to give you an assignment. Leave people better than you found them. Leave places better than you found them, because you have this new life. Our testimony cannot be that you came into someone's life and you left them worse off. Are you with me? In our workplaces, let people see this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. In our relationships, in our dealings, in everything that we are doing, let people experience this new life that we have in Christ Jesus, because we are a new creation, and that through us, God is reconciling the earth back to him. Through us, the Lord is reconciling lost sons back to him. Through us, the Lord is redeeming the earth as we partner with him as ministers of reconciliation. Glory to God. Verses earlier, Paul was saying that there's a different kind of, there's a ministry of death and there's ministry of condemnation. That is not what we've been called to. Amen. That's not what we've been called to. We've not been called to the ministry of the old covenant, but rather we've received a ministry of a new covenant. He goes on to explain that Moses, before, he could not even face the people after he encountered God. He will cover his face. He will veil his face. But we, with unveiled faces, hallelujah, as ministers of this new covenant, as new creation, because the new creation functions in under the new covenant and will go on to live in the new heavens and the new earth. So we now, with unveiled faces, we see God face to face. Hallelujah. No longer do we say, Moses, go. We are behind you. And when Moses returns, we cower in fear and block our faces. And when the Lord shows up and he's on the mountains and we are saying, no, Moses, you, only you go. Only Joshua understood a bit of what was happening. Because after Moses will go into the tent of meeting and speak to God, as the Bible tells us, as he will speak to a friend, Joshua will linger. He will stay. And that's why it was no surprise that the Lord chose Joshua to lead the nation of Israel. Now, we don't need to have a tent of meeting. Hallelujah. This is the tent of meeting. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost that the Holy Spirit has built, that God has built himself. Amen. So we meet with God here, like I keep saying at the tribe. We don't come here to worship. We come here worshiping. Hallelujah. You think this is a worship meeting for 2 hours and you're done for the week? No, 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 no. We leave here, we are worshiping. We recognize that we are always in the presence of God. We stay in the presence. The difference, we have these, some of us have this old covenant thinking, like Jacob, who did not recognize that God was where he was, and he said, and he built an altar and called it Bethel. Right? And called it Bethel, and he said, God was here. No, God is with us. God is always with us. The promise in the new covenant is that, lo, behold, what? I will be with you to the end of the ages. Hallelujah. And you've been praying with us at Pray Forward. I've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and I mentioned that the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in us. John 14. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, I am going so that the Father will send the Spirit of truth to dwell in you. That is the new creation. The new creation houses God. Amen. You are not an ordinary being. The person sitting beside you is not an ordinary being. Like C.S. Lewis says, you've never met an ordinary being. You have never met an ordinary person. So because we may not have some social status, some financial status, it doesn't mean that God looks at you the same way culture looks at you. We don't define ourselves by what is in our bank account. We don't define ourselves by some vanity metrics, by the number of cars we have or the houses we have. No, none of these things matter in the sight of God. What matters in the sight of God is that he sees Christ when he looks at us. And only the new creation dwells in Christ, and Christ dwells in us. Are you with me, tribe? Amen. So we have new bodies. We are new creation. We are new people in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, tribe is turning 4 next month. Amen. I thought you guys would clap that. 4 years, tribe is turning 4 on May 20th. And by the grace of God, we're going to be celebrating with an anniversary party. But before that, leading up to our birthday and leading up to Tribe Fest, which will be 2 weeks after our birthday, I want us to stay in the place of prayer. So for the past week, we've been learning about the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and staying in the place of prayer. Now, I know I've done the art of prayer this year, and I've spoken about prayer, the importance of it, how we should pray. Like Pastor Freddy taught us also that prayer is primarily communication between Father and Son. I want us as a community, as the tribe, Abuja, to stay in the place of prayer, speaking to God, asking him what we should do as a new creation, as the new tribe. Amen. And so I'll be doing this series leading up to our anniversary, and just trusting that the Lord will show us what the new creation looks like. What should a community of people who have been created in Christ Jesus should look like? And we'll be finding that out leading up to our anniversary. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you were blessed by the message. To listen to more, Consider subscribing, sharing, and rating the podcast. We love you.